It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. 3.5 years running now. So glad you're here. Sam Sova is our guest today. He's the co-founder and CEO of Subatomic, where he helps wealth management firms scale by deploying AI coworkers instead of adding headcount. How cool is that, right? His approach focuses on unifying data across existing tools so AI can operate directly inside real workflows, reducing operational friction and unlocking more efficient growth. He brings over 2 decades of experience at the intersection of strategy, technology, and business growth. We are talking with Sam Sova today. Welcome, Sam.
Mark, thanks for having me. Excited for the conversation.
Great to see you. This is going to be fun because I have like 15 or 20 different subscriptions. I've become a bit of an AI junkie. I've got some side businesses that I'm doing with AI as I run my investment business. So I'm excited about today's conversation because I think this is absolutely the future, and I know you do too. So tell me a little bit about what you do and how you got there.
Yeah, absolutely. So you hit on the head with the intro, Mark, but we really help firms think a little bit differently about AI long term, and it really starts with data. So we call what we do the cognitive or intelligent AI orchestration layer, and we'll dive as deep as you want into that, Mark. But we help organizations really rethink how to use data to now get the most out of AI. And how I got here, I spent about 20 plus years, mainly in the Fortune 500s on the business side, really, gravitating towards the new tech that was coming up and how do you implement it and really solve real business challenges with the waves of technology that we've seen. So this naturally is the right fit and the right time to be in AI, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, definitely. And let's just take people through a quick, and you can fill in the blanks, but of what, I mean, AI has been around a lot longer, 2 or 3 years, which is where most people think it is. I mean, AI for most people started with Siri and, Apple dropped the ball on Siri, but really the people's first experience with AI, and it didn't do a very good job. And then in the last years, it became chat, kind of a chat application where people asked it questions and they were fascinated by what they do. But now it's this agentic thing with agents that are running and replacing your head and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a really interesting thing. It's displacing tons of industries like Hollywood and music making and things like that. So it's fascinating. It's an exciting time to be part of something new because, for me, I've been able to experience a lot of really cool things in my life, right? I got to experience the digitization of music from analog to CDs and then eventually streaming. Same thing with videos, same thing with books, same thing with pictures. And then along came the iPhone and along came Bitcoin. This has been an exciting and fun thing, but it seems like in AI, I don't know if you see this, but it seems like it's like a new thing every week. And that new thing isn't just a small innovation in the way AI is working. So let's talk about what you actually practically do for your customers, for companies, things like that.
Yeah, I think, like Mark, you really hit this on the head. I talk about this a lot. I think we're at this, I'm even going to take it back a little further than pre-iPhone. I think we're at this 1995 moment.
Yeah.
So 1995, like everybody that's listening to this, kind of take a step back where you were. And at that time, that was the start of the internet, email. And if you even go to YouTube and look at Today's Show, 1995 internet, and you'll see these clips of just mass confusion and what is this that we're really embarking on? And
what is that at sign? What do they mean with the at sign? Right?
Exactly, right? And that you've seen it. And you look at it and it seems comical, but then you see what happened after that you just laid out, right? All these things that completely changed society as a whole and the way that we work. The problem when you look at the confusion is there's just no context to what the future was. And I feel like we're at that stage with AI right now,
Yeah.
where like those thinking about it are trying to think of it as like the next best piece of software that I can use in my organization or in my life. And I think when you think about it that way, you're not really thinking about the potential that AI has. You're thinking about it on top of things that you're used to, which is natural. It would almost be saying like we're gonna like back be pre-internet, we're gonna put a computer on top of the workflow we have with a typewriter. We know that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's the stage we're at now. And that's where, you know, there isn't context to what's going to happen. So we think data, like our take on it is like no matter what the future is, your data is the most critical piece in whatever happens with AI.
I heard an interesting quote. I listened to a guy named Peter Diamandis, who's kind of a futurist and has Abundance 360 and some cool stuff, and has a podcast every week, and really mostly talks about AI now because that's where all the action is. But on that podcast, what they said was, you know, AI isn't going to help your business. AI is going to create the business. It's the business. And you know, when you and I'd love to maybe switch to what an agent is, and you know, talk a little OpenClaw if you're up for that. But you know, there's all kinds of things out there now that are just taking over, not just for people, but for departments. Pretty soon, it'll be whole companies, right?
So I totally agree. I agree with that. And I think those that aren't that are just again thinking of it as a point solution technology are going to be left behind, or are going to be completely leapfrogged by their competition. It's a completely new animal. And you mentioned, Mark, like we can get into agent, what's an agent, agentic, really wherever you want to take this. But the future is, and we try to frame it this way for all of our customers, we try to frame it as think about AI as not a buying software activity, but more of a hiring activity. Because you can train AI now to essentially do anything a human could do. So like if you think about like how you hire humans,
Yeah.
what are you going to do when you hire a human onto your team? Think about any organization, any role, you're going to give them a job description, you're going to give them access to tools and data. You're going to give them continuous feedback to do better and better. We
Yes.
can now do the same thing with AI because it has that cognitive workflow. It can be a brain around all of our data and our information, which is not something software of the past could ever do. And if you think of it that way, it unlocks what the potential can be and to some of the things you alluded to, Mark.
Yeah, I was listening to a Sam Altman interview. Sam Altman, for those of that don't know, is the co-founder or whatever. There's some weird stuff around this, but of OpenAI, and he's basically talking about how it's not software anymore. It's kind of a way of thinking. In fact, I think the cat's out of the bag that he's releasing a phone, and the phone won't have apps on it anymore. You just basically tell the phone what to do and what you want, and it'll go figure it out, kind of like an agentic process. So when the guy like that, who is in the cutting edge, is talking about the way our brains need to work, you're even mentioning software. And I think, like, if we go a couple of years from now, software isn't even the game. In fact, you know, I'm in the stock market and we study investments, and those software companies, those SaaS companies, software as a service, they're in big trouble because instead of writing an application for your company, now you just tell a Claude code or a Codex or something out there, hey, I want to do this for my company, and it'll do it. Here, you know, the Claude code about I have iterated. So 3 months ago, I couldn't do it. I tried it. I couldn't do it. And now here we are, I can do it. So that's where this is going. So you help your customers by going in and showing them that there's opportunities to not hire people, but basically patients, computers, it's to do this for you without having to increase your, right?
That's right.
And what do you find, what do you find is the biggest pushback from that?
Well, it's again the it's the context. Like, how is that possible? How did we go from How did we go from asking for new fields in our CRM system taking 3 months to now not having a user interface? Like, that's a bit, or not having something that takes that long, right? And this is, this is a trend and really like the North Star that we've been looking at since day one when we started Subatomic 3 years ago. Is you'll see behind me here, AI your way. I got it right with the left hand. We believe that like you should be able to work with AI however you want. So that means like humans have been the middleman in software for the last 30 plus years, where you have all these different tools that you're using and you have to click around and have all these tabs open to get your job done. Now with AI, if you think of it as like a chief of staff or a concierge, you should be able to work with AI however you want, whether it be voice and saying what you want done, whether it be, Slack or Teams or email or text, or a user interface, if that's how you prefer to work. It really, this is how the future, I strongly believe, is going to pan out, and we're seeing it in front of our eyes.
And we're seeing it at breakneck speed. Take us through, you get an engagement from a new client. Pick your industry and tell us basically what the process is, how this works, where you can, where you like to focus, those kinds of things, and what the results are actually for the business. Take us through some of that.
Yeah, let me give you a good case study. So let's use wealth management. I like using this because it's highly regulated. So we sit down with a firm, we talk about pain points. What are your major pain points right now with going from your business to being where it is to growing to where you want to grow to? We identify those pain points. We record this entire conversation, by the way. And we understand the current tools they're using to currently do those workflows. Now, what we can do from, a hour to hour and a half engagement is we can take that recording within the Subatomic AI platform. We can now like basically build, to your point, Mark, about like SaaS, we can build like a proof of concept that they can click around with their exact workflows and use cases, and map how all the tools and all the data are going to come into this unified layer. And we can give them a really good idea of how this can work now, simply with recording a conversation and having our AI platform we built start to develop all of this and the workflows and so on.
So what would be like a pain point of a registered investment advisor, for example?
Oh,
And how would you
client
say?
meeting prep.
Okay,
They're
good.
like,
Yeah,
so
good.
they, yeah, on average, so I'll give you an actual case study. We have a client who they have 2,000 clients that they advise. They spend 8,000 hours a year on meeting prep the old way. Now, with the way that we do it, which is I'll walk you through this workflow. We have an AI coworker, think agentic AI, Mark. We mentioned this before. Go into every advisor's calendar and see when they have meetings. It'll now identify that meeting, and 5 days before the meeting, it'll send basically a meeting prep document or agenda of what they're going to talk about with their client and outline their current financial situation. So it's making recommendations because it's looking at their data holistically, not just 401k balance and IRAs, but it's looking at past emails you've had, past recorded conversations, things in your CRM. And now it's making that recommendation where the human advisor can look at that and collaborate with AI to make any changes before the meeting. They now walk into the meeting, and it literally was done in seconds versus hours of a human pulling all that information together. So now what
Fantastic.
that does, we talk about, so then like sometimes I hear, well, you had people involved, now you're cutting people. They didn't cut people. They redeployed their people to do higher value work and engage with clients at a deeper level, which is going to drive growth in their business. That's what
Yeah.
they did.
I know in the accounting industry, they want to be getting out of the weeds of, working 18-hour days during tax season and getting into advisory work, which is worth more, it's more rewarding, those kinds of things. So it does take people out of the weeds. And most of the time, people are going to gravitate toward admin functions, onboarding functions, customer functions, where you need to spend 2 hours prepping for a customer meeting. Now the customer meeting is so easy to have because it's all presented to you by AI. So absolutely
That's
fantastic.
yeah, and that's low-hanging fruit. If you're okay with that,
Sure.
I'd love to kind of double click on this of what they can do now
Yeah.
that they've unlocked this. So if you think about, so again, the core of this is taking all the data you have and all the different tools you use, all the different databases, unifying it into a place that now AI can access it and have that cognitive thinking around your data. And when you do that, you can now do things that are extremely proactive. So let me give you another great example in wealth management. Like wealth management and a lot of other businesses, I think a majority of businesses, the once AI and you get it into your business and unlock some of these operational things, the value is going to be the face-to-face.
Yes.
And that's where the trust and confidence comes in as you begin to build relationships. So sticking to wealth management, now that we have all this data, what we can do is we can say, hey, AI team, go out and scan the web of recent things going on and let's match it to interest of my client base. So I'm in Milwaukee, Mark. We talked about this. I'm a gigantic Brewers fan. I happen to be wearing blue today. Brewers fan. So you
Okay.
could see if I'm your client, let's say the Brewers win 8 games in a row, which they will at some point this year. And they win 8 games in a
That's a big
row.
statement.
I can't, what's that?
That's a big statement. They're going to win 8 games in a row this
I'm
year.
a confident Brewers fan
You
too.
are, man. Holy moly.
Let's say they win 8 in a row. Let's just say five, let's say 5 in a row. Okay. Because we have these AI coworkers out scouring the web, they're going to see, okay, Brewers won 5 in a row. That's good. Now I'm going to match my client base to Brewers fans. Sam is one of those Brewers fans. I'm now going to draft a narrative, which could be a call script, an email, or a text that my advisor sends to Sam to now build that human connection. And then we're going to give recommendations of things maybe he can, talk to Sam about based on his portfolio, needs of the future, and so on. So you're now having AI essentially kind of tee up ways for you to call clients and talk about things that are unrelated to work, which we
Yeah.
know is key to building relationships.
That's
Like this is
cool.
possible today, right now.
Here's one that I think you're going to be interested. I want to talk. Let's tee this one up by talking about OpenClaw and what that is, and maybe I'm taking a chance because that's not your gig.
Hey, it's Mark Yeager here to tell you about our cash flow machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
So just for everybody else out there, OpenClaw is a it started as ClaudeBot, which was a play on words on Claude, the AI from Anthropic. But then Claude didn't like them, so they had to change their name to Moltbot, and now it's called OpenClaw. Anyway, this is an agent that will it's a smart agent. Like, it's really ridiculous. It's a little hard to set up for some people, including me. But you talk to it like a person, all of a sudden it runs 24/7. So the reason I'm telling this story is because you brought up the Brewers. I'll bring up another sports story. I've got a client of mine, a good friend of mine, and he says, I set up Claude or my OpenClaw just to go out there and look for Masters tickets. He wants to go to the Masters. He says, I want to pay $1,000. And I'm going to go to the Masters, but I don't want to pay more than a grand for, two tickets or whatever. Find me and make sure that it's not a scam. And so this thing is out there 24/7 scouring the internet looking for Masters tickets for next year. I mean, I wouldn't have thought of that as an application, but if you can do that as an application, imagine what you can do in your business and in other parts of your life, right?
Yeah, it's the same thing, but I think one of the there's two elements that I keep thinking about when we think about like OpenClaw and other, a lot of people that are like, using other plat, Claude Cowork and so on. I think it starts with two things. First, your data,
Yes.
especially, your organizational data. So personal, let's get back to like work. Like your data and your client's data is key. So how do you keep that secure when you're using AI? And then the second thing is auditability and human in the loop. So like, how do you make sure the answers you're getting or the information are correct? Think about that when you're exploring these agentic platforms. And then also, where does the human come in to make a decision? I saw this crazy thing this weekend where OpenClaw went through like somebody's text and saw, or like through their Instagram, their text and so on, and saw that they were looking at the stories of a past girlfriend and sent a text to the ex-girlfriend and said,
Wow.
"Hey, just so you know, John hasn't been looking at your Instagram stories, but just so you know, John has been working out, getting in shape, and he's doing great," right? And it didn't have that
on.
human in the loop. And he's like, and the AI was like, hey, John, I sent a note to your ex-girlfriend because I saw you're looking at her on Instagram," right? So like,
Wow.
you think about, like, it's kind of funny, it's a little ridiculous, but you got to think in the business world, like, how do you have that human checkpoint, especially when you're interacting with clients? And it's a good, I guess, a good side by side to, ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, wow, that's an interesting story. I don't know about you, but I don't think AI is going to replace the human. I think, like you said, we're going to work with it for many, many, many years. I think Elon Musk thinks everything is we're going to be sitting around with our feet up eating popcorn all the time while AI does all of our work. I think we have a role to play in the game here. And it might take off some of the stuff we don't like to do and allow us to focus on the things that we do like to do. For me, it's creativity. That's my thing. So I want to be creative. I want to create new products and services and courses and books and those kinds of things. For other people, it might be organization. Whatever it is, you're going to be able to get rid of the things that you don't want and really get good at the things that you do want by spending more time with it. That's how I see AI unfolding.
I agree.
Computers didn't replace the secretary. They just made the secretary more proficient and efficient. And so you didn't have to use a typewriter anymore, right? And the same thing with a lot of the technology that we have. What do you think?
I agree. I think it's actually, if you think about, you relate back to COVID, right? Like COVID changed a ton of things
Yeah.
in good and I think bad. And I think what it's gonna do is it's going to bring back the human to human interaction, actually, because you're going to have
Right.
more time, you're going to have more time for it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to unlock the human potential to build better relationships. And by doing the things that we don't want to do, or that just were time consuming, it should unlock that for most organizations as a huge value add.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. I think jobs are going to shift and so on, but like, there's also things that, like, you go into a room of a bunch of salespeople and say, raise your hand if you like filling in CRM data every time you're on a call. No one's going to raise their hand,
Right.
right? So like, you're going to have a workforce that is not only more efficient and looking at growth, but also just like generally happier because they don't have to do these things that have been awful to do in the past world. Like, and it's I shouldn't say it's easy to do, but like organizations like ours, like we asked our sales team, like just jot down, knowing what we do with agentic AI, like the things you don't think you have to do in the future. And we're essentially building our own version of a CRM now that's going to replace the old CRM model where no one is ever going to have to fill out a field in a CRM platform again. It's all
How
going to be
cool is
done by
that?
AI.
There's probably not a single business that you mentioned that wouldn't want something like that. So you're
Yeah.
absolutely right.
We
Yeah.
might end up, maybe it's something we offer. We just thought of it like, how do we make our teams more efficient based on what we know they don't like doing? And I think most organizations are going to go through that kind of life cycle in the next 12 to 18 months or so of trying to do that for their teams. Otherwise, they're going to lose talent.
Yeah, I think it's this is a fascinating discussion. Of that create first one AI company. And so I think that's definitely, got a big potential because it does get so much leverage and it does get rid of the things that you don't want to. Of course, it takes some time to set some of these things up, but it's like anything, right? If you spend a little bit of time up front, you get rid of all the, it's the 80-20 rule. You spend 80, 20% of your time setting it up, you get rid of 80% of your work. And I think that could certainly translate into business as well. So tell us a little bit more about how people can find out about you, work with you, those kinds of things.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can check us out on our website. It's getsubatomic.ai. We're very active on LinkedIn as a company. And then I have a co-founder, Carl Simon. He's our CTO. He and I have been arm in arm in this, trying to build out on the vision we had a couple of years ago. You can find us both on LinkedIn. My name's Sam Sova, SOV like Victor A. We're very active and trying to share everything that we learn along the way. Because Mark, how you open, things are changing every day. It's a very, very noisy world out there right now when it comes to AI.
Yeah, it really is. So, thanks for that. Why don't you finish us off here and I'll put you on the spot. Give us two or three things that should be takeaways for people to learn about AI or things that they should, go out and start to research.
Absolutely. So the first thing is data. Make sure your data is ready for AI. That doesn't just mean API connections. That means like true data orchestration where AI can now tap into it and get the most of it. Second, as you're looking at AI and incorporating your business, look at the ability for, again, as I mentioned before, auditability, checking the work of AI. And human in the loop, where you can review anything before it goes out or make the decision if things are autonomous or not. And then I think third big thing, don't think of this as like software with capabilities. You don't want to keep adding to a technology stack because you have these flashy AI tools. Think of it holistically with the opportunity of how do you condense your tool sets, because the core is the data. Agentic AI is going to be able to unlock a lot of opportunities where you don't need to just keep buying software tools.
I love it. I love it. Great discussion today. This was a lot of fun. I hope everybody is going to learn from it. Thanks for your time, your wisdom, and your expertise in AI.
All right, Mark, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And everybody else who's listening and watching, remember what I always say, never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. I'll see you next time on the Wealth Architect Podcast. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.